It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome into the Crimson Corner Podcast. It's powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your host, Trevor Allen. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a special edition today. We're going to play back the media availability of head coach Kyle Whittingham, who spoke to the media on Tuesday morning. It's the first time that Coach Witt has talked to the media since the Pac-12 postponed fall sports due to COVID-19. So here is head coach Kyle Whittingham with the media.
Okay, this is uncharted territory for me and most of our coaches as far as here it is August 25th or whatever, and no football going on for us, no fall camp, no preparations for the season. And so it's very unique, but, we're just forging ahead. School started yesterday for our guys. So they're all back in town here. We did give them last week off once we found out about the season being delayed. Then we, stopped, our on-field stuff and gave them some time off, brought them back today for school, and then we'll start up again on Monday, and we'll have a routine where we're in the weight room Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and on the field Tuesday, Thursday. At least that's hopefully what we'll be able to do. We're still waiting for a few more details on what we can and can't do on the field, so we'll just, respond accordingly once we get all the particulars. But that's what we're thinking of is going to be happening for the next, 3, 4, 5 weeks is that routine, Monday through Friday routine with the weight room and the on-the-field activities. So that being said, go ahead and ask questions and let me know what you want to talk about.
Hi, Kyle. At what point did you find out that the Pac-12 would postpone to the spring? And at this time, did you agree with their decision to postpone until the spring?
Well, it was a couple of weeks ago, I believe. I think it might be a couple of weeks ago tomorrow to the day, if I'm remembering correctly. But agree, disagree, that's not really applicable. Disappointed, absolutely. We got to follow the recommendations of the medical team. And they've been at this for months now, literally. Examining it and deciding what we can do, what we can't do, what's safe, what's not safe. And so they came to the conclusion that putting a halt to the fall season was in order. And it was tough news to give to the team. They were all disappointed. They want to play. Obviously, they're football players. They want to play football. But beyond our control, nothing we can do about it. And so now we just set our sights on whatever's next. And at this point in time, like I mentioned, it's next week's routine getting back started up with training.
Coach, I wanted to ask you about your thoughts on there are a couple of schools that are not playing in the fall that are planning or considering a pro day event this fall so that their draft prospects don't have to worry about squeezing in a pro day event next spring when there might be a football season going on. Is that something that Utah would consider as well?
Absolutely, and we're looking at all possibilities, and we want to make sure we give our seniors every advantage possible and exposure, any exposure we can give them and make things easier for them. We will certainly try to do. We don't have any dates in mind right now. In fact, we're not even sure it's going to be something that is completely allowable. And so, you know, there's just a lot of unanswered questions right now and a lot of uncertainty going forward. And those discussions are happening really as we speak. I mean, there's meetings every day about what things are going to look like, you know, in the near future. And then of course, in the spring. But if we can implement something like that and make it work and have the okay to do that, then we'd be all for it.
Kyle, I'm curious what you think about the possibility of a spring season. How doable is that, and what would it need to look like to actually be pulled off?
Great question. I think it's doable. Is it likely? I think right now it's probably 50-50 at best. We can pull something like that off, in my opinion. I don't have any inside information other than just my own thoughts. It would have to be an abbreviated season in order to be able to not impact the 21 fall season, and because that's really critical that fall of 21 goes off as normal. I mean, that's pretty much got to happen. And so I would see maybe a spring ball type of a routine given to the Pac-12 teams that would be somewhere in late September, October, early November, somewhere in there. And then a fall camp, I guess you could call it, equivalent starting in early January, and then maybe starting games towards the end of January or early February, 5, 6, 7 game schedule. That would put you, towards the end of March. And then, you know, maybe you have a playoff game or a championship game between the North and the South. And I know there's even some discussions about maybe Bulls jumping on board and being available for something in the spring. But again, that's just all in the infancy stages and you know, a lot of ground needs to be covered before we get to that. And we'll just see what happens. But it's plausible, and we'll see how, you know, I think it will be a clearer picture in the ensuing, you know, 3 or 4 weeks.
Kyle, with the NCAA granting a year of eligibility, regardless of whether players play in the spring, have you talked about the logistics of what that means for your institution, especially for maybe these seniors, a guy like maybe like a Jake Bentley who could potentially come back even though he could play if you do have a spring season?
Absolutely, and I think that was a great decision by the NCAA to allow that. I know there was not much appetite from the players to play in the spring if it was going to be an abbreviated season and it was going to count against their eligibility. And so when they made the determination that it would not count against your eligibility, that made it a whole different ball game for our guys. And you know, it's an everything to gain, nothing to lose type thing for a senior. I mean, if you're a senior and you play an abbreviated spring schedule and you put some really good things on tape and you think your stock is as high as it's going to get, then you can go ahead and enter the draft. And if you feel like maybe you still got work to do and you still have things you want to get better at, then you'd have the option to come back in the fall. Now, what that's going to do is really put a interesting spin on the class of 22 that's coming out. Because right now, the way I understand it is you're going to have 85 scholarships available for you in the fall of 21, not counting your seniors. So any seniors do not go into that count. And so you might be at 85 scholarships with your junior, sophomore, and freshman class and have, you know, 15 or 20 seniors. And, you know, when the season's over, those 15 or 20 seniors obviously depart, and then you still got 85 scholarship players, and that's your limit. And so to clear space for the 22 recruits, that's going to be interesting because, you know, I don't know how it's going to go down. And they're talking about, well, you know, guys may move on and transfer, you know, if they don't feel like they're not in your plans, but where are they going to transfer to? Because everyone's in the same boat. Nobody really has any scholarships available. And so that's really going to be impactful for that class of 22. And if it does indeed go down as they have it outlined right now, I don't know how it's going to work. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Hey, Coach, I know that a lot of players have talked about within the Pac-12 or have even acted on it, transferring out of the program to go to a school where their conference is playing in the fall. Have you had any conversations with any of your players who have a desire to transfer to a school that is playing in the fall?
Yeah, zero conversations with anybody on our football team about transferring. That's not to say that might not be in their mind or in, you know, at the forefront of their mind, but that's it would have to happen pretty quick now. We're into this pretty deeply. And so I would say the odds are most likely against that, although, you know, it's still conceivable. But I've heard nothing. No one's come to me. Like I said, no one's approached me. And I've heard no secondhand information about anybody that is thinking along those lines.
With the recruiting dead period now extended all the way through September, just what are your concerns about trying to recruit, trying to evaluate specifically these class of 2021 kids?
Well, really no concerns, because it's a level playing field. You know, everybody's in the same boat, which doesn't really give advantage or disadvantage to anybody. And my guess is that dead period will be extended beyond September 31st. September 31st, even a day? How many days in September? But anyway, the end of September, I think it'll be very well may go into the end of the calendar year. And so there's a good chance that these recruits will not be able to have any visits to your campus, and we can't leave our campus to go visit them. But again, if that's the case, you just got to do the best you can with your Zoom virtual tours and virtual visits and that type of thing. But, you know, we feel like we've put together a pretty good class so far, a really good class so far. And we've got, you know, three or four players right now that we think we're really close on getting commitments on. And so, again, back to your original question, not a concern, but you've got to, you know, do the best you can with what you have available. And I think we're doing that.
Yeah, Coach, I wonder if you were surprised at all by the fact these other conferences like the SEC and the Big 12 are going forward. And if they do play this fall, I wondered if how that's going to affect your team and your league going forward for next year, do you think?
Yeah, well, surprised. I was probably, you know, I wasn't surprised, but it was very interesting that there can be such a differing medical opinion. And I guess, and I know certain parts of the country have different issues going on than other parts. And so that factors into it, but you'd think there'd be a little more uniformity in the process, but that's not the case. And so that's the cards we've been dealt, and so we've just got to roll with it. What's the second part of your question, Mike? I'm sorry.
Just going forward, is that going to affect your team and league being behind the other leagues because they're playing this year?
Yeah, that, you know, that could have that impact, particularly if we don't have a spring season to play. And so, you know, I don't know, you know, recruiting wise, I don't think it'll play much into that, but just readiness to play. And you know, these kids, they missed a whole spring. They've missed all fall camp. And it looks like, you know, they're going to be limited in what we can do going forward. And so I think time will tell really be the determiner of how impactful it is, but I certainly think that we'll have an impact. Yeah,
Coach, you got me.
I got you, Tom. And if you can figure out unmute, then everybody on this call should be able to do it.
I'm going to somehow take that as a compliment. Hey, I'm curious. I think it's fair to assume that, or fair to say that there's some sort of disconnect throughout the Power Five conferences, given that the Pac-12, Big Ten aren't playing, and other conferences are. Have you put any thought towards how this doesn't happen again in the future? Do you have a solution?
No solution for me as far as that goes, but it would be nice to have some uniformity and consistency with this. But again, I guess, you know, I'm not a doctor, as I've said, and there's different parts of the country have different stages of the virus going on, and so I'm sure that plays into it. But it is interesting that, you know, the NFL's playing and three of the top Power Fives and you know, a bunch of high schools and then there's some that aren't. You know, there's some conferences that aren't. And so it is unique and you know, I don't have all the answers for that, but it is something that is piques your curiosity.
Hey, Kyle, we have only seen this spring 2020 roster for a while. I'm just wondering, can you update us on any changes to the roster as it stands? Have you guys lost any players that have moved on from the program since we talked to you last, whenever that was, a few months ago?
I don't believe we've lost any players since we talked. I can't recollect exactly when we published that or when we, you know, when we last had a release, but nobody has transferred. Certainly not in the past couple months, or expressed their desire to transfer. As far as the depth chart itself, I'd have to break it out. But there hasn't been a lot happened to have movement on the depth chart. You know, like I said, we haven't been on the field, but just a little bit. And what we were on the field was no pads and no contact. And so there's really not been any opportunity for anybody to make a move on the depth chart or lose their job for that matter. So I could go over it at some point with you if you'd like, but for right now, just off the top of my head, it should be pretty similar to what we put out several months ago.
Kyle, there have been reports of several players, and we've seen them on the field now, who have moved from states where they're not playing football, like California, to Utah high schools so that they can play. And part of the theory that's been put out there has been, well, they need to play and be seen so that they can be recruited. And I'm wondering if there are any examples of where that's really changed your perception of players, or between camps and previous games and 7-on-7s before everything got shut down, have you pretty much evaluated these guys and there really hasn't been much change, even though people have changed states to play?
Well, there's some players that based on the junior tape, you don't need to see anything more. You've got a solid evaluation. You know exactly what your plan is with that player. But there's a lot of players that you need to continue to watch and further evaluate and see how they develop during their senior season. And I think that is definitely something that's beneficial to the guys in that category. We're aware of several guys that have moved into the state of Utah to play their senior year. And we're, you know, evaluating those guys. So I would say, yeah, that is a benefit, although it's not, every single player is not in that same boat. Like I said, there's a lot of guys who just based on their junior or even sophomore tape, we can have a definitive answer on, what our evaluation is and whether or not we're going to recruit that particular athlete. But there's probably, I want to say, a dozen that I'm aware of that moved into the state of Utah that came from out of state.
Kyle, you sort of addressed this earlier, but I'm curious. Let's, hypothetically, if you play 8 or so games in the spring, how feasible is it to get a full 12 in on time in the fall? And also to that, is there a student athlete welfare issue that would come with trying to play 12 on time?
Well, good question. Again, this is all stuff that has never happened before. And so it's all speculation. But one thing I would say is 8 would probably have to be the absolute maximum number of games in spring in order to not impact a fall season. And I think more like 5, 6, or 7 is probably a better number to ensure that the players aren't, the wear and tear and the physicality of a season, where they're able to withstand that and then be able to come back and do it again in September, end of August, September. Now spring ball does take a toll as well. I mean, that would obviously, the season in spring would be in lieu of spring football, and spring football typically is a very physical process, and you do quite a bit of banging in spring ball, not to the extent that you would in an 8-game season, but to answer your question, I think that would be the absolute maximum amount of games, but maybe 1 or 2 too many in order to be realistically able to get through a 12-game fall season. Then you know, when you're talking about 12 games, that's if you don't go to a conference championship game or a playoff situation or a bowl game, that type of thing.
You obviously lose a bunch of your defense from last year. You obviously have to replace Tyler Huntley and Zach Moss. Is there any positives to not necessarily having a season and being able to see these guys a little bit more? I know obviously live action is better than practice, but I mean, is there any benefits to having them a little bit more time before maybe a potential spring season?
There sure is, and we're trying to look at all the positives that we can find in this situation because it's tough, but that is one of them. We lost 9 starters off our defense. We've got an outstanding recruiting class that's here. We really feel like we hit the jackpot with this recruiting class, but they're very inexperienced. They're brand new to the program. And so for us to have this extra time to work with them, even though so far there hasn't been any time on the field with them other than 3 spring practices, with just a handful of guys that transferred in January. But to be able to, even just the meetings and walkthroughs and being able to continue to teach the system and how we do things definitely works to our advantage. You're right. We have, some key guys on offense. We return a lot on offense, but losing Tyler and Zach, that's a big part of what we're doing, but we got a lot of veterans coming back on O, but in particular on defense, that's going to be a big positive for us to be able to have the extra teach time for those guys. And I think I was looking at the roster the other day. We have 60 plus, or right around 60 of our scholarship athletes for next fall, you know, projecting to 21 or freshmen or sophomores. And I think like 45 are going to be freshmen. And so it's going to be an exceptionally inexperienced team. And all this extra time that, you know, any extra time we can have with these guys is going to work in our favor.
Coach, there have been a few reports out there, the latest from the University of Alabama. I'm not sure if you saw it, where 560-odd students contracted the virus since, I think, August 19th. With your players going back to school, I guess I've got a two-part question. Are you recommending they take as many online courses or classes as possible? And are you going to up the testing at all now that they're on campus alongside other students?
Well, I think the, you know, our answer to the first part of the question is I think most of our players are exclusively in online classes. Now there is, we have online classes, obviously, that I think is about 70 or 80% of the courses offered. And then the other percentage is what we call hybrid classes, which is, you know, in person, if you feel comfortable attending the class. If you don't feel comfortable going in person, then you tune in to that class during that time period on Zoom. And so you know, physically, no matter what, there's no classes that I'm aware of that you physically absolutely have to go to. And so we don't feel like that's going to be a problem for our guys. And I think most of our guys are opting to do the Zoom alternative to those in-person hybrid type classes. And, you know, as far as the testing, I leave that to our medical staff and our trainers. And I think we're going to continue with the same protocol from what I understand is once a week. And just, you know, that goes for the staff as well. And just continue that for the time being, unless something changes. You know, something could change to alter that. But for right now, I believe we're scheduled for a once a week protocol.
Coach, I know that some of your players from your 2020 recruiting class came in during the spring, but not all of them came until the fall. Have all of your players from the 2020 class, are they now enrolled at the University of Utah?
Yes, they have. And that's a positive fact. 99% of them were here during the summer as well. And so we just had a guy or two trickle in into the fall that were not here with us in the summer or spring. And so we're, you know, we had 100% of our guys qualify and make it through the NC2A clearinghouse. And so that's a big positive for us. And we are 100% intact with the athletes that we signed, other than the missionaries. And we have some several guys that went on LDS missions that were the exception to that. But otherwise, the rest of them, everyone we expected to be here is here.
Kyle, you've spent so much of your adult life as a coach on the sidelines on Saturdays. With no football coming this fall, I'm curious if you've given any thought to how maybe you fill that void on Saturdays this fall.
Yeah, well, fortunately, there's going to be some guys playing, hopefully, if they're able to pull it off. So that, I'm sure, will be a big part of what we, as coaches, do on Saturday, is watching everyone else who is playing, you know, do their thing. And then, of course, the NFL, if they continue to be able to stay the course, that would be the, you know, the Sunday viewing. But it's going to be different. And right now, as outlined by the NC2A, and again, it's subject to change, but Saturday, you have to have mandatory 2 days off for your players in this phase that we're about to go into. And so the coaches will have Saturday, Sundays off, as will the players. And so we've, you know, I think we'll keep busy. I know we'll keep busy, but it's really, to us, you know, a plus to be able to sit and watch, you know, what games there is going to be taking place and tune into those.
Hey, Kyle, I was curious what your thoughts were on the manifesto of sorts that the players came out with in the Pac-12. You've always been a player's coach, and I'm wondering what you thought of their increased voice.
Yeah, that's interesting stuff that's going on, and that's really you know, it's going to be determined and hashed out at the, you know, at the you know, presidential level and the NC2A level, you know, the school presidents. That's far beyond any decisions we'll have as coaches. We don't we won't have any determination in that. But you know, college football is all about the players. I have a job because there's players here. Our athletic director has a job because there's players here. And we can never lose sight of that they are the main focus. They're what it's all about. and they are the show. I mean, they're, you know, we're in the entertainment business, and they are the show. And I'm hoping that you know, they can make progress and maybe get a few things that are lacking for them right now. You know, it's a negotiation process, and I'm sure, you know, that it's going to be give and take. But we have a couple of individuals on our team that are involved in it, and you know, just proud of those guys for you know, believing in something and getting involved. And so, again, it's nothing that you know, from our standpoint as coaches, we just got to support our guys and you know, not try to put a muzzle on them and just let them voice their opinions. And then again, the powers that be that are far above us at the, you know, the presidents and the NC2A itself will make the determinations as to, you know, what they can agree to and what's not really plausible for them.
And there you go. That was head coach Kyle Whittingham with the media on Tuesday morning. You guys can read more about that conversation at kslsports.com. Well, that'll do it for this edition of the Crimson Corner Podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Until next time, this has been the Crimson Corner Podcast, and it's always powered by kslsports.com.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.